This evening we continue in our Sunday evening series in the book of Numbers. We're in Numbers chapter 25. This is the word of the living God. While Israel lived in Shittim, the people began to whore with the daughters of Moab. These invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel yoked himself to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, "Take all the chiefs of the people and hang them in the sun before the Lord, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel." And Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Each of you kill those of his men who have yoked themselves to Baal of Peor." And behold, one of the people of Israel came and brought a Midianite woman to his family in the sight of Moses and in the sight of the whole congregation of the people of Israel, while they were weeping in the entrance of the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose and left the congregation and took a spear in his hand and went after the man of Israel into the chamber and pierced both of them, the man of Israel and the woman, through her belly. Thus the plague on the people of Israel was stopped. Nevertheless, those who died by the plague were 24,000. And the Lord said to Moses, "Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, has turned back my wrath from the people of Israel in that he was jealous with my jealousy among them, so that I did not consume the people of Israel in my jealousy. Therefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace. And it shall be to him and to his descendants after him the covenant of a perpetual priesthood, because he was jealous for his God and made atonement for the people of Israel." The name of the slain man of Israel who was killed with the Midianite woman was Zimri, the son of Salu, chief of the fathers of a father's house belonging to the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianite who was killed was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur, who was the tribal head of a father's house in Midian. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Harass the Midianites and strike them down, for they have harassed you with their wiles, with which they beguiled you in the matter of Peor and the matter of Cozbi, the daughter of the chief of Midian, their sister, who was killed on the day of the plague on account of Peor. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Well, according to its website, the award-winning television show Hoarders features a team of experts working to tackle some of the biggest, most extreme, and most challenging hoards in America. Over the course of the season, viewers are introduced to 8 individuals from across the country as the team of experts race against the clock to avert crises ranging from jail time to financial ruin and loss of property. Each 2-hour episode takes an emotional, in-depth look at how both the team and families deal with a hoarding crisis of epic magnitude. A show that offers help for hoarders, those who accumulate stuff they don't need and never throw anything away. Well, this evening we find not help for hoarders, but rather help for whores. One dictionary defines a whore as a person who engages in promiscuous sex for money, a prostitute, or a person who is sexually promiscuous. And many of you may be thinking, well, I'm not a whore, so I don't need to listen to this message. Well, stick with me. This evening, I want us to consider this theme of help for whores under two important headings. First, help for whores at Shittim, and second, help for whores in Charlotte and the surrounding area and wherever you may be this evening. In the first place, help for whores at Shittim. Shittim was in the plains of Moab on the eastern side of the Jordan River, opposite Jericho. This was the site of Israel's final encampment before they finally crossed over the Jordan to take the promised land. And it was here, as verse 1 of our text told us, that the people began to whore with the daughters of Moab, that is, the men of Israel, engaged in sexual sin with the women of Moab. Ironically, as we saw in our previous couple of messages in Numbers, this took place as blessings were graciously being pronounced on Israel. The Moabite king, Balak, had hired the corrupt prophet Balaam to pronounce curses on Israel, but God would not allow Balaam to curse his people. Instead, under God's sovereign direction, Balaam wound up repeatedly blessing Israel. But Israel, once again, proved itself unworthy of such blessings. As the ESV Study Bible put it, at the foot of the mountain where Balaam had been prophesying blessings, the Israelites start whoring after the daughters of Moab and sacrificing to their gods. The juxtaposition could not be more stark between the most exuberant visions of Israel's future and their present blatant infidelity to the law and the covenant. This was eerily reminiscent of what happened to Israel at the beginning of Israel's wilderness wanderings almost 40 years before, at the foot of another mountain called Sinai. There, while the Lord was speaking to Moses face to face and revealing his will for his covenant people, the people whom he had delivered out of bondage in Egypt, revealing his instructions, which if followed would be a blessing to Israel, they were for their good and prosperity. Even as God was revealing his will for Israel, the people of Israel were at the foot of the mountain worshiping a golden calf. So we see that nothing had really changed in the hearts of God's people. But thankfully, God had not changed either. He was revealing his holy will and blessing his people. He was keeping his promises. He was proving himself faithful at Peor as he had at Sinai. The prophecies of Balaam were not able to curse Israel, but their own sin did bring God's chastisement upon them. As one rabbi put it, the sword of no stranger, the curse of no stranger, had the power to damage Israel. Only Israel itself could bring misfortune by seceding from God and his law. We find out later that Balaam played a part in that secession. As we are told in Numbers 31 and all the way in Revelation chapter 2, after Balaam failed to curse Israel, he essentially said to Balak, since we can't curse them, we can entice them to bring a curse on themselves by turning their back on their God. The way to do this is to send them beautiful, seductive Moabite women who will lure them into sexual sin and idolatry. This time, their plan worked. Such temptations often do. As Solomon would write many years later in Proverbs chapter 5, the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. For your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths. The evil deeds of the wicked ensnare them. The cords of their sins hold them fast. For lack of discipline, they will die, led astray by their own great folly. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. And the physical adultery was just a symptom of the spiritual adultery already going on in their hearts. They had turned away from their covenant God, who had delivered them from bondage in Egypt and had taken care of them throughout their wilderness wanderings, who had remained faithful to them in the midst of their infidelity to him. It was this spiritual adultery that God had warned Israel about all along. That's what he forbade them to do and engage in back in Exodus chapter 34. Do not whore after other gods, he repeatedly told them. In other words, don't give yourselves to other gods, looking to them for deliverance, blessing, satisfaction, and peace. Instead, look to me, your faithful covenant God, the self-giving bridegroom of my people. The physical whoring was a predictable result of the spiritual whoring. An earlier and more consistent indicator of the spiritual whoring in the life of Israel in the wilderness was their chronic ingratitude. An ungrateful heart is a spiritually adulterous heart, because it is a heart that is looking away from God and his immeasurable love and grace, and the fact that he has proven his faithfulness and his love and his grace over and over and over again, sacrificially, is looking away from God and his grace and looking to other things which will never satisfy. Gratitude, on the other hand, cultivates intimacy, fidelity, joy, and satisfaction. That's true in the relationship between God and his covenant people. It's true in the covenant of marriage between a man and a woman. Because of their spiritual and physical adultery, God, the faithful bridegroom of Israel, because he is a holy God who cannot wink at sin, he judged Israel. 24,000 of them died by the plague. Perhaps all of them would have died had Phinehas not intervened. We should know that Phinehas' actions were not a form of vigilante violence. Phinehas was the son of Eleazar, the high priest, the grandson of Aaron. And as such, he led the Levites who guarded the tabernacle to protect it from defilement. So his bold action was part of what God had ordained him to do. because of his zeal for the Lord and the Lord's house and the integrity of Israel and its worship, the Lord rewarded Phinehas with the covenant of peace, meaning that Phinehas and his sons would continue in the Lord's ministry of peace, and that the high priesthood would descend through him. Thus, Phinehas' intervention brought peace and mercy to the Israelites, who deserved to be completely destroyed because of their blatant infidelity to God. Thus, in the first place this evening, help for whores at Shittim. And in the second place, by way of application, help for whores in Charlotte and in the surrounding area and wherever you may be worshiping from this evening. If we are able to see ourselves through the lens of Scripture, and if we are honest with ourselves and before God, we find that we are not all that different than the Israelites were at Shittim. We too are prone to wander and leave the God we love, the God who has delivered us and who takes care of us. When we say and do things that go against what we know to be true, because we want the approval of others more than we want to honor God. When we complain, when we are ungrateful, when we find our ultimate identity in anything other than Jesus, when we pursue things other than Him that we think will satisfy us, when we look to our career or money or social status or our children or our spouse or our education or our social network or our likes on social media or anything other than the triune God of grace to give us ultimate meaning, purpose, satisfaction, peace, and happiness, then we are playing the whore just as much as the Israelites did at Shittim. You know, on the show Hoarders, one of the most important things that the hoarder needs to do in order to get help is to admit that he or she is a hoarder. Most hoarders live in denial. But in order to get help, the hoarder has to admit there's something not quite right in their home and in their life. They have to admit that they are a hoarder. And that's true for whores as well. In Matthew 21, the religious leaders of Israel were opposing Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you." Now, why did he say that? Why was that the case? It's because in Jesus' day, through his preaching, through his presence, through the love that he was showing to sinners, and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, tax collectors and prostitutes were admitting their sin. They were acknowledging the emptiness in their life and their need of a Savior. And so they were coming to Jesus and loving Him and embracing Him by faith. It's not until we see that we are guilty of playing the whore that we run to the one who receives and saves whores. by his grace. Phinehas foreshadowed the work of Jesus in that he was zealous for the glory of God. The zeal for God's house consumed Phinehas. Zeal for the prosperity of God's people consumed Phinehas. And in that, he foreshadowed the person and work of Jesus Christ, as did his bloody work that brought an end to God's judgment and atoned in a temporal way for the sins of God's people. All of that pointing forward to Jesus. But whereas Phinehas executed judgment on those who were sinning in order to bring an end to God's judgment on Israel, Jesus took that judgment on himself, because he is the only sinless one who could truly and eternally atone for the sins not only of Israel, but for of the whole world. Jew and Gentile alike. Jesus allowed himself to be pierced. Pierced with the judgment of God for our transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. He underwent the shame of being hanged outside on a cross so that we could be forgiven and reconciled to God. So what do we do with our hearts that are so prone to whore after those things that will never satisfy? Take them to Jesus, and we experience his forgiveness, his love, and his power to change. And we give him thanks for loving and saving sinners like us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.